It was Friday, October 4th, 2003, when the headlines revealed how many of our troops in Iraq had been deployed without protective body armor. And even though the American military had certified the use of the 16-pound ceramic-plated interceptor body armor, news reports revealed that there were still 51,000 American soldiers and civilian administrators who were engaging the enemy in Iraq without the shrapnel-stopping vest strapped to their chest. Well, when Dan Britt received the news that his son had orders to move into Baghdad before receiving his body armor, he did what every good father should do, and he paid the price for his son's protection by personally purchasing the bulletproof vest. And with fatherly love, he sent that vest overseas so that his son might be safe while standing behind enemy lines. Listen, it's with the same heart that our Heavenly Father has also provided every believer with the protective armor that Paul called the breastplate of righteousness. And here in our study this morning, we're going to see how this breastplate of righteousness is also designed to help us and to keep us spiritually safe while standing behind enemy lines. This morning we find ourselves in the middle of an 8-week series on the subject of spiritual warfare titled Winning the War Against Wickedness. And 2 weeks ago we began this series from Ephesians chapter 6 by first considering our need to recognize a few key principles about this spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. And during that first study, we saw how every Christian must begin to recognize that our authority as soldiers in the Lord's army comes from Jesus Christ Himself, because we're soldiers in the Lord's army. We also considered how we must recognize that our adversary is the devil, and that he has methods of deception and minions of demons. And finally, we took the time to recognize that our armaments are specifically designed to help us to win this war against wickedness by providing believers with spiritual armor and spiritual ammunitions. Well, then in our study last week, we began to examine the spiritual armaments that Paul listed here in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with the belt of truth. And during that study, we considered how the belt of truth first fixes our focus. It helps us to tie up the loose-ended thoughts that divert our minds with doubtful distractions and false feelings. Then we saw how the belt of truth also secures our strength by protecting the core beliefs and the vital doctrines that we've embraced as believers. Finally, we examine the way that the belt of truth readies our response by giving us easy access to the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, now here in our study this morning, we're going to continue this study. We're going to continue to understand the armaments that God has given to every Christian soldier. And we're going to move on to the second piece of defensive armor on Paul's list, which he called the breastplate of righteousness. And as we examine this piece of protective armor, we'll be comforted to know three important things. And here in our study this morning, we'll first see that the breastplate of righteousness, it covers our core. The second thing that we'll learn this morning is that the breastplate of righteousness compounds our courage. Thirdly and finally this morning, we'll see that the breastplate of righteousness confirms our calling. And so with this as our outline, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, where we'll begin to consider how the breastplate of righteousness covers our core. And so let's look at our text, beginning here at Ephesians 6, verse 10, where Paul declared, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Now, as we begin to consider this breastplate of righteousness that Paul was writing about, I want to begin by reminding you that this letter to the church in Ephesus was written while Paul was under arrest in Rome. And so there's good reason to believe that Paul was staring straight at a Roman soldier in full military armor as he wrote to the believers there in Ephesus. So I believe in order to better understand what Paul was suggesting as he wrote about the breastplate of righteousness, we ought to take a moment to consider the features and the functions of the military breastplate of the Roman soldier. As we do, we're going to compare these practical features and functions of the Roman soldier's breastplate to the spiritual breastplate that God has given every Christian soldier. So let's begin by comparing the breastplate that we've been given to that breastplate of the Roman soldier. And let's begin this comparison by first understanding the word breastplate that we find here in Ephesians chapter 6. This word breastplate, well, it actually comes from the Greek word thorax. The thorax, well, that's the part of the body that extends from the neck to the navel. Or in other words, it's the part of the body that contains all five of our vital organs. We should also consider how this word thorax, it was used in a military sense to refer to that piece of armor that was constructed from plates of hammered bronze and sculpted to resemble the muscles of the human torso. They had a quick way of getting abs of steel back in the first century. They would just pound them out of bronze and strap them to their chest. I've been thinking about getting some of those for myself. But in similar fashion, we have to consider how the breastplate of righteousness, well, it's also designed to protect the vital organs of our immaterial man by covering our metaphysical core with spiritual armor. Much like the Roman piece of armor that covered their vital organs, this breastplate of righteousness covers our vital organs, spiritually speaking. So let's continue to develop this point by examining the immaterial vital organs that we all have. It's been said that beneath the clothes we find a man, and beneath the man we find his nucleus. In other words, underneath the physical matter that makes us who we are, we find the immaterial substance of the soul. According to Hebrew tradition, this immaterial soul, it was said to reside within the vital organs of a man. For example, consider, the Hebrews believed that the heart was the seat of their tender affections like kindness and benevolence and compassion. So when we talked about the heart of a man, we could be talking about the physical heart that beats within our chest, or we might be talking about that immaterial heart where love comes from and compassion. The Hebrews also believed that the lower bowels, like the liver and the kidneys, also contained baser emotions like anger and distress and fear. So when someone talked about the bowels of a man, they might have been talking about their physical bowels, or they might have been talking about the immaterial bowels. In similar fashion, the Greeks also believed that the human soul was located in the vital organs of a man. Therefore, when Paul asked Philemon to refresh his bowels in the Lord, he was actually asking Philemon to refresh the core of his immaterial being. And when Paul wrote to the Christians in Colossae about the importance of having bowels filled with mercy, he was actually teaching them that they should be filled with mercy to the very core of their metaphysical man. With this in mind, we should understand that when Paul encouraged Christians to put on the breastplate of righteousness, he was actually encouraging them to cover their spiritual core with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We are being told as Christians to cover our vital organs of the immaterial man with the righteousness of our Savior. And the reason why that this is so important for us, it's due to the fact that the core of our inner man is unreservedly and unashamedly unrighteous. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17, and I'd like to help you to see why I believe this. Now, as you turn to Jeremiah 17, we should spend a moment considering why Paul chose to qualify this piece of armor with the word righteousness. Remember, this is the breastplate of righteousness. First of all, it helps to understand that the word righteous, it means faultless. The word righteous, it means guiltless. The word righteous means innocent and free of sin. Therefore, righteousness is the quality of a person who is forever faultless, always guiltless, and completely innocent, being free of all sin. That being the case, I must ask, who here today can say that they've always been righteous? Who among us here this morning can say that we've been forever faultless? That we've always been guiltless? That we've been completely innocent all of our entire lives? The answer is not one of us here can say that. Not a single one of us can say, I've done the right thing all of the time. I've always done what was correct. No, not a single one of us can say that. Without debate, every man, every woman, even every child is unrighteous to the very core of our being. And it's with this depth of unrighteousness in mind that the prophet Jeremiah declared here in Jeremiah 17, looking at verse 9, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, he's not talking about our physical beating heart, the heart that's found within our chest. He's talking about the immaterial heart, the heart of a man, our soul, our core. Is deceitful above some things? No. Above all things. The very core of our being is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. When someone says, well, just look within your heart for direction for your life, don't you fall for that lie. Your heart and my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah was basically saying here that at the very core of our inner man, our very core is devious and despicable, even desiring the deceptions offered by the devil's demons. The devil's demons have deceptions that they offer to us, and our heart craves that, because we're desperately wicked at our core. And since our soul desires the deceptions of the devil, we need to protect our carnal core from the devil's deceptions. And we do so with the breastplate of righteousness. Now, in order to better understand how this protective piece of armor works, let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. And as you turn to Philippians chapter 3, I want to take a moment to explore some of the ways that the enemies of God, they're attempting to take us out of the battle by appealing to the unrighteousness of our metaphysical man. Oh, the devil knows how our heart operates. The devil knows what's in the inner core of a man. And the devil knows how to manipulate that. And without a doubt, the devil's demons have been sent to manipulate our hearts, to lead us deeper and deeper into our own depravity. For example, consider how the devil and his demons attempt to lead us deeper into depravity by whispering directive deceptions into our ears like this one. You've probably heard it. You've already spent so much time thinking about that sin. Might as well do it. You spent so much time imagining it in your mind, you've rolled it over and over and over again in your thought life, that, hey, what's the harm in actually doing it now? You're already guilty. Maybe you've heard this one. You know, you've already committed that sin so many times that what's one more time going to hurt? Maybe you've heard this one. You know you always lose the fight against that temptation. So why do you even try fighting? You know you always give in to that sin, so just stop fighting against it. Just don't even put up a fight at all. Just go ahead and do it. These are the sorts of lies that the devil's demons come and whisper into our ears. And the core of our very being says yes. Yes to that deception. Yes to that lie. Christian, listen, whenever we listen to these demonic deceptions, we always end up sinking deeper and deeper into depravity. And as a result, we start losing ground in this war against wickedness. Therefore, like Paul, we must learn how to stand strong, having put on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. And here in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, Paul helped us to see exactly how he does this. Here in Philippians 3, looking at verse 8, Paul says, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Here in these verses, Paul was quick to confess that he was still struggling with sin. He hasn't already attained righteousness, his own righteousness at this point in time. He wasn't a perfect man. No, Paul fell short of God's righteous standard. But then rather than allowing the enemy to come along and use his lack of personal perfection against him, Paul learned to forget the things that were behind. When the enemy came to Paul and said, "Hey, you've already done it so many times, why not just do it again?" Paul forgot the things that were behind him, left them in the past, and continued to press toward the goal by the power of Christ's righteousness. Paul learned how to rely upon the power of Christ's righteousness to continue to help him, reaching forward and pressing toward the goal. In similar fashion, we too can defeat demonic deceptions in our own lives by choosing to leave the past in the past. And then by the power of Christ's righteousness, covered with that breastplate of righteousness, seek the power of Christ to continue to move forward, reaching forward, pressing toward the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't listen to the devil and his demons when they come along and say, "Oh, you're already guilty, so you might as well do it again." Don't fall for that lie. But rather rely on the righteousness of Jesus Christ, who gives you the power to overcome the temptation of sin, so that you can continue to move forward in this walk of faith. And so we see that the breastplate of righteousness helps us to win the war against wickedness because it protects our easily deceived inner man by covering our core with Christ's righteousness. Not only that, but we must also understand how the breastplate of righteousness, it also helps us to win the war against wickedness because it compounds our courage. Now, in order to understand what I mean by compounding courage, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we should spend a moment examining another important design detail of the Roman soldier's breastplate. You see, this second piece of armor on Paul's list, it was actually made up of two main pieces. This breastplate had the front piece, which was specifically designed to fit and protect the front half of the soldier's body. And then there was the back piece, which was molded to fit and protect the soldier's back. And these two pieces would be tied together with leather straps so that it had a snug fit on the soldier. And having this bronze breastplate secured in place, The soldier then could step onto the battlefield with greater confidence than the soldier who didn't have a breastplate at all, or the soldier who had only half of a breastplate. The soldier with the entire breastplate covering both front and back had more courage on the battlefield than anyone else. And it's in similar fashion that Paul helps us to see that we need the two pieces of the breastplate of righteousness to have courage on the battlefield that we find ourselves on. So check out 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, where Paul presented us with both pieces so that we can better understand them. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, Paul writes, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love." Here in this verse, Paul revealed how the breastplate of righteousness is made up of both faith and love. So I want to take some time to examine the two parts of this spiritual breastplate so that we can better understand what we're wearing. And the first piece I want to look at is the piece of faith. You see, according to Thayer's lexicon, this word faith, it refers to a strong and welcome conviction that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. Think about it like this. Those who are walking by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ are also enjoying the courage that comes along with the assurance of salvation. And it's this assurance of salvation that continues to produce more faith in our lives. So as we enter into this relationship with Jesus Christ by faith, we see, oh, I've obtained salvation by faith in Christ, and now I have assurance that continues to produce more faith, therefore more courage. So the first half of the breastplate is faith. The second half of the breastplate is love. And this word love in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it comes from the Greek word agape, which Paul usually used to refer to the divine love of God. Therefore, when he wrote about the breastplate of faith and love, he was actually telling us that those who put on the breastplate of righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ are covered with the assurance of salvation through their faith, and are also covered with the divine love of God. Now that we have a better understanding about the faith and the love that makes up the breastplate of righteousness, we should take some time also to consider the way that these separate sections of the breastplate were designed to compound our courage. So if you would, turn to Isaiah chapter 54. And as you turn to Isaiah 54, I want to continue developing this concept of compounding courage. In order to do so, you ought to first understand that the word compound, it speaks of something that's being formed by combining two or more parts. When something is a compound, it has two or more parts. But not only that, this word compound also means to add to something or to cause something to increase. Something that is compounding is something that is increasing. And in the case of our courage, both of these definitions apply. Think about it like this. When we receive the breastplate of righteousness from Jesus Christ, we're actually covering ourselves with two things, the assurance of faith and the divine love of God. Therefore, the spiritual breastplate that God has given us, it's a compound of faith and love, two things being brought together. Not only that, though, but this combination of faith and love is designed to provide us with increase, and specifically the increase of courage. And so it compounds our courage in the Lord, sort of like the soldier who was wearing his military thorax. When the soldier put on his military thorax and tie the two pieces together, he had compounding courage on the battlefield. And so too should we, as we wear the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. Now, in order to more fully understand how this actually works, check out Isaiah 54. Because beginning there at verse 14, the prophet Isaiah revealed how the Lord's righteousness should continually increase our courage. He says, "In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Here we see that the Lord's righteousness, it's been given to us to establish us and to protect us from every weapon and from every accusation. Therefore, consider when the enemy tries to rob us of our courage by trying to make us afraid with his weapons of spiritual warfare. Now, we should increase our courage. We should have compounding courage in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And with that courage, we can declare with David, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident." David found his confidence, his courage, in the fact that the Lord's righteousness would protect him from every enemy and from every foe. And listen, when our adversary comes and accuses us and attempts to condemn us because of our sinful struggles, it's the breastplate of righteousness that increases our courage by protecting us from every accusation. And it's with this increase of courage that we can proclaim with Paul, "Who shall bring a charge against the Lord's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Paul was confident. And his courage was increased because he was receiving protection from the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. And Christian, listen, the Lord has covered every believer with the breastplate of righteousness, which means that he has filled us with increasing faith by providing us with the assurance of our salvation. And he's covered us with his everlasting love so that we know what side we find ourselves on. So whom shall we fear? Whom shall we be afraid of? And the answer is no one. Having been covered with the breastplate of faith and love, we can fight the good fight. And we can fight the good fight, winning the war against wickedness with compounding courage in the righteousness of the Lord. And so we see then that the breastplate of righteousness, it helps us to win the war against wickedness because it protects our easily deceived inner man by covering our core with Christ's righteousness. Not only that, but the breastplate of righteousness also helps us to win the war against wickedness because it compounds our courage by protecting us from every wicked weapon and every adversarial accusation. Finally, we should understand how the breastplate of righteousness also helps us to win the war against wickedness because it confirms our calling. If you would, turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul helps us to comprehend this third and final point. And as you turn back to 1 Thessalonians 5, I want to help you to see how the breastplate of righteousness actually confirms our calling. And in order to do so, I want to take a moment to consider all of the guys and all the gals that we see walking around in military camos. You know, I go to Starbucks and spend a lot of time studying at Starbucks, and I see all kinds of people come in. And I see oftentimes people come in with camouflage clothing on. I often wonder, is that person enlisted? Or do they just like the look? Is that a true soldier right there? Or are they just sporting camos? I go to HEB, I see people wearing camos. And I often ask myself, is that person enlisted? Or are they just sporting a look? Go to the movies, people with camos. Everywhere I go, there's people wearing camos. Some of them are true soldiers. Some of them just like the look. Conversely, there was no question in my mind on the day that I landed at Ben Gurion International Airport in Tel Aviv, Israel. As we got off the plane, we saw IDF soldiers wearing protective body armor, carrying M4A1 carbine assault rifles. There was no question in any of our minds that they were soldiers. We knew that these men were soldiers because of the gear they were wearing. It's in similar fashion that if you were walking down the road during the first century, you happen to see a man wearing a heavy bronze breastplate, it would have been obvious to you that he was indeed a Roman soldier. Therefore, the soldier's bronze breastplate, it confirmed his calling by causing him to stand out like a sore thumb. Imagine someone wearing this bright bronze breastplate walking down the road. Chances are they're not doing that for looks. No, they're a soldier in the Roman army. They stand out like a sore thumb. It's obvious to everyone where they're enlisted. And according to Paul, it should be equally obvious to everyone around us that we're enlisted in the Lord's army because we're wearing the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. Check out 1 Thessalonians 5 again, beginning there at verse 6, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, 6, Paul writes, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation." Here in these verses, Paul was encouraging the Christians in Thessalonica to live differently than their unbelieving counterparts. He was telling them that they ought to live differently than the people in the world who don't trust in Christ. And he did so when he told them, "Let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Now, I don't believe that Paul was concerned about the way they were sleeping at night. I don't think he's suggesting, look, unbelievers sleep on their side, you need to sleep on your back. Unbelievers sleep on their front, you need to sleep on your side. He wasn't saying, hey, wear the head strap piece because unbelievers have sleep apnea, you shouldn't have sleep apnea. He's not concerned about their sleeping habits. What he is saying, though, is that, look, unbelievers live in darkness. Unbelievers live in drunkenness. And that shouldn't be true of us. While unbelievers are living in darkness and in drunkenness, Christians ought not to live that way. Those who have enlisted in the Lord's army should stop living in the darkness and in the drunkenness of the world, but rather we should put on the breastplate of faith and love and live according to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what Paul was saying in Ephesians 4 when he directed believers to put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Christian, we have an old man and we have a new man. We get to choose which one we walk in. And Paul is directing us to put off the old man. Stop walking according to the lusts of the flesh. Don't live according to the sinful nature. Put off that old man. Put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness. Not self-righteousness. Not pseudo-righteousness. But true righteousness and holiness. Christian, listen, when we decided to enlist in the Lord's army through faith in Jesus Christ, we also agreed to wear the breastplate of His righteousness. And now that we've been covered with this spiritual breastplate, we must confirm our calling by learning how to live while wearing this awkward piece of armor. Now, in order to consider what I'm talking about and why I'm calling this an awkward piece of armor, we ought to consider the restrictive nature of this spiritual breastplate, beginning with the weight of this protective covering. You see, according to one historian, the Roman soldier's military breastplate, it weighed anywhere from 30 to 40 pounds. As a matter of fact, of all of the weight the Roman soldier was carrying, the breastplate accounted for half of the weight that they had on. Half of the weight that they were carrying around in protective equipment was found on their chest. That's how heavy that breastplate was. Oftentimes, the newly enlisted soldiers would become completely fatigued simply because their physical bodies weren't ready for the extra weight. Maybe it was easy to carry it for a few hours of the day, but all day? Every day? It took some training to develop the strength to endure the additional weight. It wasn't easy to carry. And with this in mind, we should also consider how the breastplate of righteousness, it feels like a burdensome weight to our flesh. Understand that. To our flesh, to our carnal man, to our sinful nature, the breastplate of righteousness is way too heavy to carry. We don't have the strength for it. Our carnal man cannot carry the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. Kind of like the time when Jesus asked the disciples to watch and pray there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just stay up. Just stay awake. Just watch a little while. Just pray a little bit so that you don't enter into temptation. But every time he came back, they were asleep. They were sleeping. It was in response to their sleepy struggle that Jesus told them, "The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Christian, our flesh is so weak. And our flesh cannot carry the weight of Christ's righteousness. Impossible. Can't do it. That's why Paul began this section of Scripture by declaring that we must learn to stand in the power of the Lord's might. If we are going to keep the breastplate of righteousness on, then we must learn to stand in the power of the Lord's might. We can't do it. We can't walk day by day, minute by minute, carrying the heavy load of Christ's righteousness. It's too much for our flesh. But in the power of His might, we can. Because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Christian, it's very possible that as you've heard the convictions of the Lord, as the Lord has taken you to a place to help you to see where your next step is, you're thinking, "I'm much too tired for that. I don't have the time or the energy. I don't have the strength to go to the next level." And so we find ourselves ready to take off the breastplate of Christ's righteousness because it's grown too heavy and we're failing to remember that the Lord said, "Come to me if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden. Come to me. I'll give you rest." Christian, don't take off the breastplate of Christ's righteousness because you've grown tired and weary of well-doing. But go to Jesus and receive spiritual strength from Him so that you can continue walking, wearing the breastplate of Christ's righteousness. Another problem that the Roman soldiers dealt with while wearing their military armor was restriction. You see, while the bronze breastplate would protect their vitals, it also restricted their freedom of movement. Not much given play in a bronze-plated vest. And so the soldiers, they would have to learn what they could do and what they couldn't do while wearing this armor. They had to consider how much movement they had and what they couldn't no longer do wearing this bronze breastplate. And it's in similar fashion that we too must learn about the restrictions that are imposed on the believer who's wearing the spiritual breastplate. And in order to do so, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. It's in 1 Peter chapter 4 that we discover a list of restrictions for the Christian. And as you turn there, we should consider again how the Roman soldiers' breastplates, it confirmed their calling. And here's why. Because you see, this bronze breastplate of the Roman military, it never became a fashion accessory. It's not like the camos of today where it's like, hey, those are cool, I'm going to wear some. Imagine that you have this bronze breastplate. It's like 40 pounds. It's really hot. It doesn't go with anything I have in my closet. It never became like a popular fashion accessory. It never became an addition to the everyday business attire. One reason why is because it was too restrictive for casual wear. You couldn't function in the same way that you could with just a tunic on. But listen, the Roman soldier gladly dealt with the restrictions, realizing the protection that it provided. And so they simply learned how to live with the restrictions. They learned what the restrictions were, and then they lived accordingly. Now, with this in mind, consider the words of Peter found here in 1 Peter 4, beginning there at verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live like the rest of his time in the flesh, for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." According to Peter, there are restrictions that we have received as Christian soldiers. And we can say, that's too much restriction for me. I'm taking off the breastplate of righteousness. Now I'm going to live any old way. I'm going to live how I used to live because that's what I like. I don't want the restrictions. But you have to understand that you've taken off your armor. You've removed the breastplate of righteousness so that you can live in the way that you've been freed up from living. We've been freed from these things. We no longer have to live in worldly ways. And when we come to that place where we find, oh, hey, here's a restriction. This is restricting me from the freedom of movement that I used to have. Don't fight against the breastplate of righteousness, but learn to live accordingly. When we find these new convictions found in the Scriptures, we must learn to accept the restrictions, by the power of Christ, live accordingly. Without a doubt, as we do, the world's going to think that we're a little strange. We're going to be like that Roman soldier walking down the road with that bronze breastplate on. Yeah, look, he's a Roman soldier. The breastplate confirmed the calling of the soldier. It was clear who they were enlisted with, what military they belonged to. Because you could tell. Look at the breastplate. In similar fashion, as we wear the breastplate of Christ's righteousness and begin to live according to the restrictions that it imposes upon us, the world will look at us and say, aha, I know what army you're enlisted in. They're going to think it's strange that we don't follow the same flood of dissipation, the same flood of sinfulness that we used to follow. Going to think that we're odd for not following after the same lustful fleshly things that we used to follow after. But let this righteousness stand as the calling card that confirms our calling that we have enlisted in the Lord's army. We see then that the breastplate of righteousness, it's been designed to help us to win the war against wickedness. The breastplate of righteousness helps us to win the war against wickedness because it protects our easily deceived inner man by covering our core with Christ's righteousness. Not only that, but the breastplate of righteousness, also it helps us to win the war against wickedness because it compounds our courage by protecting us from every wicked weapon and every adversarial accusation. And finally, the breastplate of righteousness, it helps us to win the war against wickedness because it confirms our calling in the Lord, helping us to see our need for strength from Him and presenting us with the restrictions that we ought to live according to. And in conclusion, we must understand that it's our breastplate of righteousness that helps us to win the war against wickedness, because the breastplate of righteousness is Jesus Christ Himself, who has covered us with His righteousness and promised to keep us until the day of the Lord. Therefore, it's with full confidence in Christ, that we can declare with Paul that we are more than conquerors in this war against wickedness. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Therefore, like Paul, we should be persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray.